This is the work of the Holy Spirit to say that not only has Jesus died, but he's died for you. It's not only that he's risen, but he's risen for you. He isn't ascended into heaven just in some sort of abstraction, but he's ascended into heaven for you to intercede for you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that work of the Holy Spirit to press the events of the gospel, of the work of God, into our own hearts and into our own ears and into our own conscience comes through fantastically with those words for you.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for the for you of Christianity at our Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
Some elements of the religious rite having to kind of make a, dare I say, strange bedfellows arrangement with Donald Trump in order to continue fighting the culture war.
Once we reduce this to gospel, in quotes, then the doors are wide open to do anything else we want to in the theological realm.
It's not because of the man Luther. Luther would say, not me, Christ. Christ alone. Look to Christ.
Kids, we incarnate in Indiana. Hello, Mom. And love Issues Etc.
The new Concordia commentary on Hebrews is Issues Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by regular...
Well, we've been looking at this issue from the outside in, looking at Germany as it moved toward same-sex marriage. It was kind of a holdout in a lot of ways of all those northern and western European countries that have already, in one form or another, approved of same-sex marriage. Germany got it by way of a vote of the legislature. It didn't take much, and it went through over against the initial objections of Prime Minister Angela Merkel. She's still ambiguous about it, but now the very first same-sex weddings are being performed in Germany, and the New York Times is heralding it with the headline, Same-Sex Couples Wed in Germany as Marriage Law Takes Effect. We're going to be talking about same-sex marriage in Germany and in Europe. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest for the first half hour, and then we're going to turn to our series that we've been doing with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the Lord's Prayer today. Give us this day our daily bread. Joining us to talk about the first same-sex marriages in Germany, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. He's a regular guest, emeritus professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, The Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's author and editor of more than 50 books, including Defending the Gospel in Legal Style, and he joins us from France. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Always a pleasure.
In Europe, on the subject of same-sex marriage, is Germany the exception or the rule?
Well, Germany is becoming the rule. The situation is that traditionally, Roman Catholic countries in Europe, the countries that are more to the south, have been unwilling to alter the traditional and biblical understanding of marriage, whereas the North European countries, such as France and Germany and England, have been perfectly willing to move in that direction. This is sad because those North European countries, the ones that were that at one time were associated most closely with the Reformation. But that's the situation. The Reformation countries have very largely gone secular, and to a certain extent that also has taken place in the Roman Catholic countries, but less so, particularly if they are farther south and closest to the papacy, to Vatican City.
How did this come about? Talk about the process by which Germany got its first same-sex marriages.
Well, the definition of marriage does not appear in the German Constitution, and for that reason, all that had to happen was a parliamentary approval of it. That was the same situation in France. Usually, it requires a majority of left-wing politicians in order to achieve this. That was the case in France. In France, this took place during the dreadful five-year term of Hollande, François Hollande, and he pushed through all sorts of ghastly legislation. That was just one example of it. But in Germany, fascinatingly enough, the conservatives, or really conservatives or centrists, have had a great deal more influence. And according to one news report, Prime Minister of Germany, she was opposed to altering the definition of marriage, allowing homosexual marriage. There was this lesbian couple that had fostered some eight children. And she was so impressed by that, and she said that, after all, what we really need is loving homes. And so she changed her view on this, and I'm sure that that had a great deal of influence on the legislature in general.
We tend to think here in the United States of these matters in terms of what we call here the sexual revolution, and we usually associate it with kind of the free love, beginning with the free love movement and the rise of feminism in the early and late 60s here in the United States. Has there been a similar movement in Europe and in the European countries that led to this?
Well, yes, there certainly has been a quote-unquote sexual revolution, but the arguments presented in favor of the marriage of people of the same sex over here is generally an equality argument. The point being that if they are not allowed to do this, they are not being treated as first-class citizens. They are being reduced to a lower status within the society. This equality argument is presented again and again, and that's exactly the argument presented by this first homosexual marriage, the couple engaged in this first homosexual marriage in Germany. The irony of this, of course, is that equality is not an appropriate category to use in evaluating a question like same-sex marriage, unless by equality you mean everybody should be allowed to do what anybody else is able to do. Now, no society allows that sort of thing. For example, we don't allow brothers and sisters to get married. We don't allow people who have inadequate vision to fly 747s. Therefore, if the people who are not allowed to do these things can employ an equality argument, then this opens the doors to absolute chaos and bedlam in the society. The fact of the matter is that marriage has always connected with reproduction, at least potential reproduction, and it's connected with the differences between the two sexes. And if that's the case, then you do not have any equality argument whatsoever. The fact of the matter is that I can't give birth to a child, all right? I can't get pregnant any more than I can fly a 747. But equality has nothing to do with this. It has to do with the nature of the issue that one is dealing with. But that has been largely obliterated in European thinking. A prominent French philosopher recently pointed out that the three bywords of the French Revolution, liberté, égalité, fraternité, liberty, equality, and fraternity, unfortunately, these terms have gotten redefined in such a way that all sorts of things are permitted that even the French revolutionaries wouldn't have allowed.
Dr. Montgomery, we recently interviewed you about gospel reductionism, and I imagine a gospel reductionist might say, look, same-sex marriage, especially just simply being approved of by the state, that doesn't impact the gospel, and therefore it really should be no big deal. What's your response to that?
Well, the response is that Holy Scripture condemns homosexual relationships. It doesn't condemn the temptation toward homosexuality, but it absolutely condemns the practice. And for that reason, if you not only hold to the gospel, but also hold to the scriptures as an inerrant revelation from God Almighty, you cannot go along with this. You've got to fight it as much as you can. And if you can't in a society that has gone secular, you nevertheless make sure that within the church nothing like this can happen. It's perfectly possible, for example, for any local church to put in its constitution that its clergy will not under any circumstances perform a marriage between two people of the same sex. So you do everything you can to point out the illogic of the arguments in favor of this kind of thing and the repercussions. You know, one thing that everybody ought to do, and they won't do it because it's too tough, everybody ought to read the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Obergefell. That's the decision that allowed for homosexual marriage in the United States. The reason why everybody ought to read this is that the dissenting opinion, the major dissenting opinion by Chief Justice Roberts, is absolutely magnificent. And in this, he points out, among other things, that this opens the door to polygamy, to polygamous relationships. It opens the door to anybody marrying anybody under any conditions whatsoever. And that can destroy a society. And he also points out that the repercussions of this are perfectly dreadful in general respects. For example, the religious institutions that get tax benefits. Suppose the religious institution says, we do not go along with same-sex marriage, and therefore in our dormitories or our Christian colleges, we will not allow two people, even if they are married by the state, to occupy the same room. Now, in that case, the tax benefits could be removed from that organization, so that this is impinging on religious liberties, as well as opening the door to all sorts of things. I understand that some Mormons have filed suit to allow for polygamous relationships now on the basis of the majority view in the Obergefell decision. But that decision is so well-reasoned from the minority standpoint, Chief Justice Roberts, that it really deserves study.
I wonder, in the vein that you raised a moment ago, did the churches, and here we need to speak generally and then in the particular, did the churches in Germany follow the state's movement toward same-sex marriage, or did they, in some sense, as many liberal churches did here in the United States, precede the state's decision on this?
Well, they didn't really precede the state, but as soon as this became a social issue, a social movement, the Protestant churches in general went right along with it. And this is because the churches of a Protestant background in Germany have gone so dreadfully liberal. One of the reasons that that's happened is that the German churches do not maintain, in most instances, separate theological seminaries, a separate theological education. Instead, their theological students, those who are going to become pastors, go to university and they take religion in the university or theology. But because those universities are secular, you have situations where there are atheists who hold theological chairs in Germany. And the end product of this has been a very, very low level of serious biblical understanding among German Protestant clergy. And when that happens, of course, that impacts the congregations of which they're pastors, and they simply do not stand up for biblical truth.
We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the first same-sex marriages performed in Germany on this Monday, October the 2nd. When we come back, what does the average German citizen think about the subject? Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the first same-sex marriages performed in Germany. Folks, during the month of October, we're asking you to please consider joining or upgrading your membership in our monthly or annual giving program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Reformation Club benefits include t-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. And in addition to these benefits, if you join or upgrade your membership level in October, we'll send you the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Reformation. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by clicking the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at issuesetc.org or just give us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Dr. Montgomery, we've talked about kind of the politicians and the politics of this thing. What do you think the average German citizen thinks about the subject of same-sex marriage?
Well, it's probably more or less now as it is in the States. It's really about 50-50. It's just like the abortion thing. It looks like modern Western society is coming to a point where no longer can one rely on a Christian majority in the society. And therefore, on these very difficult social questions, you have serious cleavages within the society. And this is so unfortunate because a society, by definition, ought to be operating more or less on the same wavelength in order to have a coherent operation going within the country. And that's less and less the case. You know, certainly in the States, that could be seen at the time of this last election. I mean, look at the polarization that that election illustrated. Back in the days of Reagan, who was certainly conservative, I mean, really conservative, both politically and theologically, with Reagan, you didn't have the kind of bedlam that took place at the time of the most recent American presidential election. And that I think the reason for this is that societies, modern Western societies, are becoming more and more polarized between people who are willing to go along with whatever is supposed to be modern and liberal and egalitarian, and other people are just not willing to do this. They're just not willing to stand for it.
You mentioned a moment ago Justice Roberts writing for the dissenting judges in the Obergefell decision recently in the United States. He warns that this is a Pandora's box, as you said. Should German lawmakers consider that as well, that what they have decided to do legislatively here may lead to them being asked to do more in terms of opening the definition of marriage?
Well, of course they should. Now, whether they do or not is a different matter, and that has so much to do with their political alignments. if they are members of political parties that are on the liberal edge and are constantly pushing for a more open, in quotes, society, then they're not going to pay any attention to that. There's, of course, also the argument that, after all, this is a U.S. court decision and isn't law in Germany. But the point is, the arguments in that case are of such consequence that they apply across the board wherever homosexual marriage is allowed. And now, in France, by the way, the situation is a bit less agonizing, because there the state performs the civil marriage, and the clergy in any denomination, including a Roman Catholic Church, do not perform marriages. Okay, that is to say, they don't perform civil marriages, and when they do perform a marriage, then that is solely an ecclesiastical phenomenon, right? So a Roman Catholic can say, or a Protestant can say, who's a Bible believer, well, all right, the state's gone down the drain, but that hasn't got anything to do with real marriage, because real marriage involves a priest or a clergyman performing the ceremony according to the biblical tradition and the rest of it, and that we can still maintain. This is, I think, much messier in the United States and in Germany, where the fact of the matter is that the clergyman can perform the only actual marriage that is taking place.
There are a few holdouts in Europe on the issue of marriage, Germany having become, I believe, the 15th country in Europe to, in some form or another, approve same-sex marriage. Why are the others holding out? What's different about that? Or are they just simply lagging behind a little bit?
Well, the Eastern European countries, particularly those who have countries that have an Eastern Orthodox background, Greek Orthodox, Romanian Orthodox, and so forth, countries with that kind of background, or Eastern European countries that are strongly Roman Catholic, regard the whole business of homosexual marriage as an abomination. And their societies are more traditional, and they've had less contact with the West, and therefore they are less influenced by Western media pressures and that kind of thing. And that accounts for the European countries that have that simply have not even considered this. I mean, they're not going to consider it. You know, they might 100 years from now, but if the war tarries, but they're certainly not going to consider it now. And this certainly shows how important it is to have really strong church bodies that pay attention to the ecumenical creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and even if they have some difficulties in terms of non-biblical traditions, at least they are staying as close as they can to what Scripture is in fact saying. You know, you brought up this business of gospel reductionism again, and the fact is that if we think that the only thing important in Christianity is salvation, nothing else at all, then we're not going to pay attention to the Bible, and we're not going to pay attention to all the Bible has to say about social issues such as this. And that's a hideous mistake. We have a right to condemn certain churches for neglecting the gospel, but it seems to me we should also take a more balanced view and say, if you neglect the gospel, you're making a hideous mistake, and if you neglect what Scripture says on these ethical, moral, social issues, you're making a hideous mistake, because all of that stuff comes from the pen of God Almighty.
I want your thoughts, if you would, on Christian leaders. It's suggested here in the United States. I'm sure the idea floats around in Europe, and you already mentioned some, where the churches simply do not perform civil marriages. The Christian church should stop doing marriages altogether to avoid whatever kind of legal ramifications may come from the approval of same-sex marriage. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I don't think that this is a proper solution. I think that this is a supposed solution which could be as bad as the problem. I think that the appropriate thing to do is to define very, very clearly in the constitution of the church body, or if that's not possible, in the constitution of the local church, what the church is willing to do in terms of marriage. And the church has every right to do this. And the state is not going to interfere with that at all. Because certainly in the United States, where there's the separation of church and state, if that were to take place, if the state were to try to compel denominations and individual churches to perform marriages against their doctrinal position, I mean, this would result in litigation that would absolutely submerge the Supreme Court of the United States. That's not going to happen. And so it seems to me that what we want to do is to, with our churches, provide models of what a proper marriage is and a model of what a proper marital ceremony is. If we step away from the whole thing, we're going to turn into Mennonites or Amish, and we're not going to be a light to the society.
Dr. Montgomery, tell us about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights held each summer in Strasbourg, France.
Well, for one thing, we don't perform marriages. This is not a church. It is a Christian organization that derives its theology very largely from the Lutheran tradition, but its purpose is to provide the evidence for the faith that we can use in evangelism today in a secular society. One of the reasons we don't do evangelism is that we're frightened witless that we're going to be confronted with questions we can't answer. And during the 2 weeks in Strasbourg, France, each summer, four foremost apologists deal with 10 areas of objection to Christian faith that you will necessarily confront in modern life, and the best answers are provided for this. So it's really an advanced training in evangelism and an opportunity to learn to speak to those issues that are keeping people from the cross of Christ. This takes place in Strasbourg, France, in the French Rhineland, a perfectly wonderful area. It's for 2 weeks of July each year. The cost is less than a trip to Hawaii for the same length of time, and you can't possibly get a sunburn in the French Rhineland. And the number of people on this program is limited to 20 each summer, just 20. And by the way, we are over half full for next summer. So, goodness, if people listening to this broadcast are concerned to be more effective witnesses for Christ to a non-Christian world, really sign up right away, because we simply cannot take more than 20. The physical facilities that we have are university facilities, and we're limited in that respect. It's an absolutely wonderful cultural and theological experience.
You can learn more about the 2018 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate and barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with 1517 The Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Defending the Gospel in Legal Style, and he joined us from France. Dr. Montgomery, thank you.
You're most welcome.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, it's part five of our series on the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Give us this day our daily bread. Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
Creo en Dios Padre Todopoderoso. Millones confesan los credos cada semana. ¿Pero por qué? Aprende más sobre los credos cristianos y las confesiones luteranas este mes en The Lutheran Witness. Recibe 6 ediciones de la revista principal de la Iglesia Luterana Sínodo de Missouri para $6.99 por visitar a cph.org/trilutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.